Hey everybody, it's Sunny. If you're hearing this, of course you're listening on the free feed. Go sign up at subbeacon.com for the Patreon exclusives, early access, etc., etc. I mean, I'm glad you're listening here. Everybody should be listening to this show. It should be the most popular show in the country. But you should go sign up to get all the exclusive stuff you're missing out on. For instance, this week on Monday's bonus episode, we're going to be talking about Pam and Tommy, which is going to be a quadrant killer, I can assure you of that. And on the episode that went up this Monday, we talked about David Mamet's classic Heist. If you're not getting the bonuses, you're really missing out. And again, you get everything early. I mean, this episode you're about to listen to is about Peacemaker. And, you know, it's a couple weeks old, a couple weeks out of date. We're going to be talking about Moonfall on Friday. You got to listen to the Moonfall episode before Moonfall's out of theaters and in a week since no one's going to see it, which is too bad. But we'll talk more about that, too. So anyway, go sign up, subbeacon.com. It's as little as a dollar a month. It's really not very much money. And you get to support the show that you love listening to. So see you there.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Peacemaker?
No.
He is a trained killer. We've got trouble with that maniac.
Go! What are you waiting for?
That thing better not crap back there.
You can't house train an eagle, dude. Not without stealing its soul.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Lass and Sonny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what's going on?
It is not often that I come to you guys looking for parenting advice, but that is how we are going to begin today.
Wow. Okay.
You will recall that G Money and I went to see Spider-Man No Way Home, and yes, he loved it and thought it was the greatest film ever made. He has been looking forward to Spider-Man No Way Home coming to streaming so that we can watch it four times a day the way children do obsessively with films they like. He comes home from school last week, and one of his friends at Hippie Montessori School, Ezekiel, is telling him that he's watching Spider-Man. He's watching Spider-Man No Way Home every single night at his house.
What?
And G Money wants to know why I cannot go and buy it. So I said to him, you know, I think Ezekiel probably is thinking of a different Spider-Man movie. He's probably thinking of Spider-Man 3, the one
from home.
Carnage. And so G Money says, well, I'll ask him. And he comes home and I say, Nope, he's watching the one. It's the one with Doc Ock and all the ones from the past and Doctor Strange, and he can see it. And, you know, why can't you just buy this for me? At which point, I realized that Ezekiel's dad is a filthy pirate.
That's the only explanation, right?
So my question to you boys is, do I tell G Money that his friend's dad is a pirate? Or do I just sit around looking like the sad sack dad who isn't rich enough to buy an Amazon Prime $19.99 thing for him to be able to watch? Because I like to give my children everything. I don't like saying no to them. Well,
here's what
I don't like saying no to the girls. The boys I'll say no to.
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
You take G Money to your local FBI office. And you instruct him in the ways of the world by telling him to inform on his friend and his father who has violated the FBI warning that is at the beginning of all home movie things. It says if you pirate this, you face prison time, you face fines, hundreds of thousands of dollars, many decades in prison, and you send his ass to jail. And then you ask. Then you ask Ezekiel how much he liked that movie. Now you tell Ezekiel, you say, Ezekiel, how you like Spider-Man now? You couldn't
no
wait.
No Way Home.
You couldn't.
Your dad's
wait.
Got No Way Home too.
Hey kid. Do you think you maybe should have gone to just go see it in a theater like a respectable consumer in society? No, Oh, I bet you're real glad that you can watch it, or you can keep watching it now. You damage done. You can keep watching it forever while your dad's in pound me in the ass federal jail. How do you like that? How do you like that, boy?
That's
what you should do with G Money.
They do that for pirate. I didn't know they do that for
pirates. They do that for everyone.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought that's what Sonny's advice would be. Victorino, do you have advice?
Yes.
Should I just go and pirate it so that he can be popular?
I will give you the email of my cousins in the Philippines, and they'll just send it to you. The way they have all the other screeners that we took from Sonny when he wasn't in the office. And we made millions off of that.
Millions of Filipino dollars, so which is like 50 cents.
I want my kid to be able to fit in
school. It's all about
school.
The pesos.
I want all the popular kids. All the popular 4 and 5 year olds are sitting around talking about how they get to watch this movie at home. Uh-huh. Yeah. And is my kid going to be the only one not? What would young Victorino do?
You could take it to the next level, like my good friend, my late good friend, may he rest in peace, who in 7th grade had a pirated Debbie Does Dallas. And
Steve?
Let me tell you something really
Rushford?
Popular. Yes. May he rest in peace. Really
he,
popular.
He rented that out. He made you people pay for that, didn't he?
No, what he did was he borrowed it from another classmate who gave it to him for free, and then he rented it out to other kids. Anyway, on VHS. Anyway, it would be interesting to say, hey, could you ask Ezekiel to get, like, you know, find out, like, his contact information for his dad? And then you can reach out to the dad and say, hey, is it true you've got this? And then you are faced with two choices. One, to rat him out, Sonny style, or to say, hey, would you mind giving me a copy?
I don't think this is a physical media thing. Victorino, if I had to bet,
you don't think Ezekiel's dad went with him to the theater and videotaped it himself, like, you know, with his phone?
I
and
think this is something up on using like the Plex TV Roku app. Or
what
something.
You should do, really, all right, Jamie, really seriously, what That's you should true. Do, what you need to do is you need to, what you need to do is you need to sit G Money down in front of the television,
explain to him intellectual property laws,
and say, this is what would happen if daddy did what Ezekiel's dad did, and then turn on Oz. This is what would happen.
Yeah.
This is what would happen to your daddy. Do you see this man has to go to prison? He lives with these bald men.
That's right.
He lives with these bald men now, and terrible things
that's
to
right.
him.
Is your
they terrible things? They do terrible things to daddy. Do you want that?
Is your dad's
G-Money?
Name? Is your dad's name Beecher? That's what you're
saying. All right, that's what I got.
I would be friends with a guy named Adebisi. That's what I would do.
Howard,
hope to God. Yes.
How are you, boy? Sonny, are things
Sonny,
any better than
on?
Last week? Because things were grim last week.
It was all sorts of issues last week.
This week has been better.
Okay.
This week has been mildly better. So I I can't remember how much I talked about last week, but my 3-year-old had COVID. But was already essentially done with
right,
it. Was
right.
It was like a 2-day cold for
of
him.
Course.
As promised, COVID for the 3-year-old, like a mild cold, it was great. I mean, not great, but, you know, whatever. He was back to normal like that. The 6-year-old got strep.
Oh,
6-year-old got strep.
Strep is miserable.
So strep, not. I think last week I thought it was. I said it was a stomach bug, a virus of some sort.
No, you said it was strep. You said it was strep.
Did I say it was strep? Okay, well, strep. So it's strep. She had strep. My wife had strep. And I am just existing in this cloud of disease and germs, like swirling about the house, like Pigpen has run through it in a hazmat suit. And I am still standing. I've caught neither the COVID nor the strep, and I'm still. But it was a bad couple of days, because on Tuesday in particular, bad day, because in addition to the 6-year-old being home with strep and my wife sleeping for like 18 hours because she had strep and spending the other 6 hours in her bed because she had strep. The water main at the 3-year-old's preschool broke, and he could not go to school. So 3-year-old's at home, full strength, running around.
Water main break.
There was nothing to do with it. So he's just running all over the house. 6-year-old is, you know, laid up in her bed. She's feeling a little bit better because started her antibiotics or whatever, but she's feeling, but she's still basically out of it. And I'm also like trying to do a full day's worth of work. I had a bull work goes to Hollywood that day. I was talking to Janice Min, the great Janice Min. JVL, I'm sure you have thoughts.
Careful.
But the it was just an absolutely miserable day. Luckily, everybody is feeling better. Both the kids back to school.
Yeah.
Wife out of bed.
Next week when we do this, everything will be great.
I'm trying to decide if my superhuman tiger blood has saved me from all of the diseases, or if my body is just waiting for everybody to be actually fully healed and it is just going to collapse. It's like you remember the Simpsons episode where they're trying to figure out how Mr. Burns is still alive, and it's all the diseases jammed in the door. That's me right now. All of the diseases are jammed into my lungs, and they're like, "We're trying to figure out who's best here." It was a bad week. It was not an ideal week, but I watched 3 hours of Peacemaker, and I watched Rounders, which we're going to talk about on the bonus episode. So I got lots of thoughts on the stuff we're talking about today, and I can't wait to go pass out tonight.
As you say, you look like the paragon of health.
I am like this close to just collapsing on myself, because it's not just you know, having to take care of both of the children essentially by myself for like 3 days or 4 days or whatever, like, and also, you know, take care of Beth because she's sick. Everybody's miserable, but like I'm also sleeping on the fold out couch, which is not the most comfortable fold out couch in the world. It's fine. It's like a 4-3 day thing, but I'm like, I'm not getting a lot of sleep.
I sleep with sick people. I don't care.
It's because you have Wolverine blood. You're immune to it.
You've got the superhuman blood.
So today is actually my father's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Dr. Mattis.
Dr. Mattis, 84 years young, and he's doing just fine. Weird story, and I'd love to know what your opinions are of this. This is a really weird story, and then some happy thoughts. So the weird story first. So I said, "How was your day? What did you do?" So, you know, of course, he went to church in the morning. And then after that, he went to the mausoleum to visit with my mother. But then he says when he was there, he bumps. It was 7:30 in the morning, so it was really early. Because he says for some reason it's always open. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but he says it's always open. He says, you know, so he goes at 7:30, bumps into these two guys who were pushing a stretcher with a body on it. Like not in a casket. But like in a bag with a cloth over it. And he said they were startled and he was startled. He's like, "Oh, sorry, go ahead." And they went ahead. What?
When you say two guys.
I assume they were
you
workers.
You mean two guys?
Hey. Like, this is Jersey. Oh.
Do you mean,
you
mean a couple of guys?
Let me just say this.
We got a perfect place to keep this body.
Could your father describe these gentlemen?
Well, you know what the funny thing is?
Were they oily?
Whenever we go swarthy, they were swarthy. Were they swarthy? Whenever I've gone there, I always know. I always make jokes there at the mausoleum about most of the walls. Like whole walls of just Italian names. It's just whole walls, including Capone. I mean, that's it. I mean, Capone is there, you know, and it's really quite strange. So I don't know. Isn't that odd? And so I was driving to work when I called him and I said, "Wait a minute, repeat that again. What do you mean?" I said, "So like, because it's it should be in the casket by now." And he goes, no, it was like in like just in a bag and a cloth over it. What could be going? What do you think that is? I asked Kate.
Were they taking the body out or putting it back in?
We don't know. Like, could it be like, "Oh, hey, maybe there was bodies being reinterred, like from
maybe
somewhere.
Somebody needed a body."
I don't know, man.
That's the question. Do they need a body to disappear, or do they need to produce a body?
I'm telling you. Or it's like, "Oh, maybe there's like somebody demanded an autopsy or something, you know, like, oh, and then so they had to go in and get it and then they're bringing it back in." But isn't that odd? Like, this isn't the funeral home.
That's
right?
Very strange.
It's very strange. Okay, so if anyone has thoughts and theories,
so you're saying your dad's gonna wake up with a horse head in his head.
I don't know, because he saw it and
this week. Is what you're saying?
If people, it's quite possible. If people have theories, usually people,
you know what?
They're
he
in
didn't
the business.
See nothing.
People,
he didn't see nothing.
He didn't see nothing.
He didn't see nothing. Don't you people worry out there? Dr. Mattis didn't see nothing. No, he was minding his own business.
That's right. No. He was on his way to IHOP.
Chrissy Maltisanti is listening to this podcast. Oh.
That's right. Otherwise, he is doing fine and cooking up a storm. When we went to visit him over Christmas, he seemed very eager to want to cook for us. And so I said, okay, as long as we're not imposing. So he just said, okay, make up some fried rice. So he does this fried rice thing. And honestly, it's really quite adorable because he's turning into like an Asian Yoda. You know, the way he looked. And it's like being, you know, the Dagobah hut. And he's like,
with the little stirring in the pot with the little stick.
Eat hot food. You know, it's just very quite charming. Okay, that's all I have. Everything else is fine. You know what I noticed on Twitter, by the way, is NR, National Review, is looking for a layout editor, as in for a magazine. How often do you see that advertised? A layout editor.
Also, no, look. I mean, no disrespect, National Review Magazine, which is now edited by one of my very good friends, Ramesh Panuru. That magazine's interior layout is the type of thing that most five-year-olds could do. That is not the most artistically laid. It's just a lot of three-column pages. A
lot of columns.
A lot of three-column pages.
I actually replied. I replied on Twitter, and it said, I am extremely proficient in Quark Express 5. Thank you. I'm glad. You know what? Few people. Thank you. Very few people got the joke. I know you got. You both went. I know you did enjoy that one.
We switched to InDesign in like 2005.
Yeah, that's right.
2006.
That's right. We went
right?
to because I remember
because I started in Quark. And like when I was like 6 months in, we switched to InDesign, and InDesign's a million times better.
I wonder what they run NR on. Because as old as that, look, the older your magazine is, the longer the chances that you're on a legacy system, right?
I believe it's PageMaker.
I'm sorry, Lotus
1-3.
They actually just print it out and on a printing press, and they cut the strips together.
Funny.
And Ramesh actually replied, is actually we're looking for people who get along well with others. It was very funny. What I should have said is that I'm also very proficient in AOL web crawler. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Spider-Man No Way Home climbed its way back to the top of the box office with $14 million. Web crawler, followed by Pod will remember because I did all these various. I had to use the search engine. It only took 5 minutes to get an answer. Followed by Scream with 12.2 million. Well, yes,
and I believe it was Lycos web crawler.
Lycos Alta Vista,
whatever.
And in third place, Sing 2, with yet another 5.8 million.
Alligator blood, it's hanging around.
Box office thoughts.
Well, I mean, just as expected, Spider-Man No Way Home retakes the top spot. Scream held better than I thought it would. A 59% drop or whatever is better than these kind of legacy horror sequels usually have for
drops.
Plus,
it's not Halloween.
So it did well. What is most interesting is that like 3 or 4 weeks ago, Sony pushed the Morbius movie back to March or April or whatever, right?
Oh,
like, remember
okay,
that?
Okay, yes.
Morbius was supposed to come out this weekend. Oh. So Morbius was going to come out this weekend, and then it was going to be Jackass Forever and Moonfall the next weekend, right? And they pushed Morbius back. They didn't really say, they didn't say exactly why, but my hunch is they just didn't want it to compete against Spider-Man. They just wanted to, like, keep letting Spider-Man rack up, against no competition for the next few weeks. Spider-Man is now at $1.6 billion worldwide. It's the sixth highest grossing movie worldwide of all time. I think it's the fourth highest grossing or the fifth highest grossing movie domestically of all time. Amazing. I should have looked this up before we started. But it's I think it's going to have a hard time. I think it's going to have a hard time making that last $40 million to get past Avatar, which is I think what Sony was hoping for. I don't think that's going to happen domestically, but and certainly not foreign. It's
a re-release.
I mean, they would have to end up doing a re-release to get that number
Oscar weekend
on the domestic.
Right.
But
You know, when nothing is out over the Oscar weekend,
yeah,
push it
put
out.
Put it back
again.
In the IMAXs.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking. What,
but anyway, Spider-Man No Way Home, huge enormous hit. People love it. Scream did okay. It's fine.
What is Moonfall?
Moonfall's it's the Roland Emmerich.
Oh, yes, of course. The moon. It's literally the moon is coming
down.
It's falling. Yes, I believe I saw the trailer.
Crashing into the earth because there's a monster inside of it.
What's funny? I feel like I saw it, but in fact, it was just a very long trailer.
Is it a monster or a Decepticon? Or is that a different movie?
No one knows.
Well,
no one
it's
knows.
Roland Emmerich, so it's kind of like Michael. Yeah, I would say it's like a robot.
Yeah, it's like in the. Because
that was literally Dark Side of the Moon for Transformers. Right?
That's right.
There were Decepticons on the moon.
The astronauts saw it when they went. Behind kept that a secret.
Yeah, Moonfall. I'm actually kind of excited for Moonfall because it looks big and dumb. I think that could be a fun movie.
I love Roland Emmerich.
Which one was Roland Emmerich? 2012.
JVL. Which one was he?
Day After Tomorrow.
Was he?
Yeah, Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, he was Day After. Was
Stargate?
He Deep Impact or no?
No, that was. I don't think that was. That was neither Armageddon nor Deep Impact. Armageddon was Michael Bay. Deep Impact was like Mimi Leader.
2012.
It was Mimi Leader.
That
was weird.
2012.
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah, that's right.
And there was the White House one.
And
there
Godzilla.
Remember there was Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah,
and
White House Down.
They did White House Down, which kind of sucked.
I thought it was White House Has Fallen. Olympus Down.
No.
Okay.
No, Olympus Has Fallen. White House Down. How dare you?
Thank you.
Question.
We're actually not discussing any of the movies in the box office right now. We're actually discussing this week a TV show.
Yellow Jackets.
Can I just step right in here?
I want to make everybody. So we, just a little peek behind the curtain. We have a little group text with our friend John Podhoretz. And Victorino says, what is this show, Yellow Jackets?
Right, which I legitimately
about?
Did not know.
J-Pod sent us a chart with like the biggest shows.
And I said, Vic, I think you would really enjoy this because it is a show about teenage girls eating each other outside.
eating each other.
But they're outside when they're eating each other.
And
outside.
What it is.
And Vic was instantly very, very interested in it.
I didn't respond at all until Pod jumped in to explain this was.
I
not
said,
what,
I
oh, you,
explained
it. Was you.
It's
it was
Lord of
you?
The Flies meets Alive. That's what
alive.
That's
right.
What it is.
So
that's
it's like it it's cannibalism.
I haven't watched it. I don't know. It's a bunch of girls crash on their. They got to eat each
like
other to stay alive. It's like Alive, but also with Lord
to
of
stay
Lord
alive.
Of
That's why they have to eat each other.
it's like don't get excited.
It's a high school girl soccer team trapped in the wilderness and decide to eat each other.
Well, yeah, it depends.
Vic, how does that sound to you?
Well, so that's the thing. So
could go one of two ways.
JVL was taunting me with this, and then John, and then J-Pod was like, "No, it's not what you think. It's like," and then Sonny's like, "It's not like what you think. It's more like this alive, this cannibalism stuff." And then I was like, "Eh." So, oh no! I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I just,
either
I've
way.
Been curious. If it's not one thing, it's another. So
curious blue.
Yes. So
I am curious. Yellow Jacket.
That's right. No. Okay.
Hey, nicely done, Sonny.
Thank you. We are not talking about Yellow Jackets. We are in fact talking about The Peacemaker on the Max. Is that what people call it now? The Max?
Yeah,
and is
that's
it because
right.
Nobody
D
calls
plus?
It the Max.
Is it because
everybody
of...
calls it the Max?
Nobody calls it
I've
the Max.
I've been seeing
literally
it on
everyone.
Screen. It says
no.
The
no,
Max.
It's
a, the
it's
Max.
It's
I'm
say,
like,
people
what is
say
the Max?
HBO or maybe they say
HBO
HBO Max.
Max.
We call like, we the people call
the
it
people
the
don't
Max.
Call it the Max.
We call Disney Plus D Plus.
That I can
HBO Max is the Max. Apple people call Apple Plus TV streaming premium service, right? That's what they all
funny.
Call it.
They all have to. Everybody has to call it that.
Nobody calls the Peacock anything.
And Peacock is the cock. Everyone calls it the
Did
cock.
Did you see the story about Peacock lost $1.7 trillion or some Ooh. Insane amount of money last year? I mean, it was like.
Well, I'm going to be turning it on this Saturday night for the Royal Rumble.
Oh, well,
oh,
they have
is that.
That.
Is
they
that,
have that.
Is that included in
yeah,
the
it is.
Peacock Plus?
Yep.
That's one good thing going
cock
for
Cock Plus?
It.
Yep.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Plus Cock?
So we are actually talking about Peacemaker. Sonny, How about a big boy review? Or JVL, you felt you were very passionate about this, and this was your idea, or?
I love this show so much. Okay. I'm not sure if you want to start with me, but I.
JVL, why don't we go with Sonny? Let's go with Sonny.
I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm going to do
it. Wow. Assert yourself.
If you recall, the last time we saw the character of the Peacemaker, portrayed by John Cena, was in James Gunn's remake, Suicide. Now, The Suicide Squad or Suicide
The Squad? Suicide. Sequel.
The sequel. Sequel slash reboot, The Suicide Squad, where Idris Elba shot him in the throat and then an entire building collapsed on him. So the character of the Peacemaker, you might have believed, was dead. This series, also written and mostly directed by James Gunn. He's directed the first three episodes, I think, and he may direct more later. Begins with John Cena's character sitting in a hospital and a doctor saying to him, well, you were shot in the throat and buried underneath the building, but you seem okay to me.
Right clavicle.
Right, yeah, it's just the clavicle. It's just clavicle.
Your right clavicle. Just don't raise your arm above your head.
And
go to your physical therapy.
That is the tone of the show. This is, you know, this is one I've said to you guys over and over and over. This superhero IP is not just about superheroes. You can do anything with it, right? You can do noirs, you can do drama, you can do action, you can do buddy cop. Well, The Peacemaker is a sitcom. It is The Office. Imagine if The Office was hard R, but with superheroes in it.
It is hard.
That's what this is. And it is hysterical. It's very, very funny. And I dare say kind of original. And it follows the story of the Peacemaker as he thinks that he is going to be free from having been in jail, but instead gets immediately roped back into doing black ops work. And he is a sad sack and a simpleton who doesn't really understand anything that's going on around him in the world. And he is part of this dysfunctional office family, and it's hysterical. He is the Rainn Wilson character from The Office. We have the John Krasinski character in the what's the actress's name? She plays a black lesbian here, yes. Danielle Brooks.
Oh yeah,
who's fantastic. Who is the only normal person this office, and her wife, who stays sort of, you know, quasi off screen, but sometimes on screen, is Krasinski's boyfriend or Krasinski's girlfriend from The Office. And you could see all of these, they're just sitcom characters, all of these people. And it's hysterical. And it's great. And it's fun. And it's original. And everybody in America should be watching The Peacemaker.
Well, not even, I wouldn't say, not everybody, like the little kids, oh, I like superhero movies. Let's see this one, okay? That might not work. Sonny.
Make Ezekiel watch it.
Yeah, that's right.
Ezekiel saw this last year.
Oh, yes, you could say he saw it last year with the Chinese subtitles. Okay. Sonny, what did you think about this?
I like it. I think it's I was very skeptical going into it because I something about the tone of The Suicide Squad rubbed me the wrong way, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't
didn't
know
like
about
Suicide
this.
Squad.
I don't know about this. It's kind of, but it works for all the reasons JBL says it. It is very much like a workplace sitcom comedy. John Cena is wonderful in it. Just like he is genuinely, it's funny. He is genuinely funny in a way that The Rock thinks he is.
Ooh.
Or wishes he was. And I can't help but feel like we are, we had the wrong giant male wrestler action hero for years. I don't know, 10 years or so.
I disagree, because I think John Cena is a terrible actor, but James Gunn has figured out how to use him perfectly, because John Cena's problem is that he is ridiculous when he's acting serious, and so he simply acts seriously while everybody else around him is doing broad comedy, and it makes his bad acting
work
a laugh riot.
Yeah. I see, but I don't think he's a bad actor in this. I don't know. I think he's very good. My favorite character is the other female agent, Jennifer Holland.
Oh, I like her.
Who's played by Jennifer Holland, agent Amelia Harcourt. She's fantastic in this. Look, the story, here's the thing that vaguely annoys me about this. It is like so many other prestige dramas and so many other pieces of film.
It's the unnecessary nudity that you hate, right?
No, that's fine. There's not enough of that, frankly. We need to get more of that. No, it doesn't even annoy me. It just feels tired and played out. Is that the whole thing is about trauma, right? This whole goofy superhero show is actually about trauma and the way trauma, you know, hurts us and shapes us. And it's not just John Cena's peacemaker character who was abused by his racist, like, literally, you know, the dad is played by Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick,
he's wonderful. But you know, the dad is like the grand wizard of, you know, the KKK,
the White
or whatever.
Dragon.
But he's actually literally a character called the White Dragon. Mm-hmm. He's like a, you know, and you know, it's all about how he, you know, warped his son into being a terrible killer, and, you know, is disappointed that he's not like a vicious bigot, and you know, and like on top of that, you have the character who is played by, I'm sorry, I'm just looking it up again here. The character who is played by Danielle Brooks, again, is like her.
Atabay.
She is related to Amanda Waller, who is, of course, the big heavy from Suicide Squad and the Suicide Squad. And she, you know, again, it's like, she comes from this, you know, terrible family. And like, what does it actually mean? And we haven't even mentioned the vigilante, who is maybe my favorite character on the show.
So
the like
great.
Goofy, Adrian. the goofy murderer.
Yeah,
is what he is. He's just like the goofy murderer. He's like he's explaining, you know, sometimes I have to kill, you know, a murderer or a rapist or the guy who does the graffiti.
Right.
And it's just very funny because he's insane and deranged, and it like it works with the way that character plays it. But again, he is a person who has suffered trauma and is like, you know, very, very sad on the inside, and everybody's trying to figure out how to be, you know, happier. And like, okay,
all right, I'm sorry, you're gonna go right to trying to pick this thing apart, Sonny, and that drives me crazy.
I enjoyed the first four episodes a lot. I went in very hesitant, and I just ripped through all four episodes. I really liked it
because it is funny and unexpected.
It's funny.
He has
and
a
it
pet
is,
eagle.
It's funny, and it's doing funny things, and it's very well written, and it's very well acted, and the special effects are like, this show looks like it costs 10 times what like Boba Fett looks like it cost, yeah. And they're not doing any, and there are no real big like action.
No, it just looks
outside
nice.
Of the first episode. Mm-hmm. There are no like
it's
giant
shot
enormous
on location,
action set pieces.
Right? They have.
Do we
sets.
Know that? Yeah. I hope so, because I that's what I was thinking is that because yeah. It's you know it's.
So I mean, I like the show
CGI.
A lot. I'm just like there is a little bit of it that I'm just like, okay,
they
everybody is so
done any hugging
sad.
And learning yet. I just
they're
I
getting there.
I don't want hugging and learning.
We're
I wanted to
there.
Stay dark. I understand the trauma stuff. I hope that remains subtext and not.
It's not even subtext. It's text. It's just text. It's the text of the relationship
Victorino,
between Peacemaker and the father. It's
I
like the whole thing.
I looked at this show and I thought to myself, this is going to kill the quadrants.
It did.
It's going to love it.
It did kill the quadrants. So plot is an A. It's very easy to understand. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, aliens. Okay.
How many episodes have you guys watched?
Four.
Three.
Okay.
Okay.
I watched the first four. The fifth is actually, we're taping this Thursday night. Okay. So the fifth is actually up now, but okay. It dropped on Thursday.
Duration per episode is an A, obviously. Mm-hmm. Action violence is an A. And
not an A+.
I give it an A. It's
the
funny.
Action violence is
it's pretty good. You know, it's funny. I have it. I forgot to. I have like the parentheses is from the last episode. Who does she do battle with? That was Encanto. Sorry, that was from two episodes ago. But it's still. I'll give it an A+. And sex nudity is an A++. Just for the alien. The alien in that first step. That's it.
Which by the, so he. If I could just say it again, it's over. This is so. Let me set
when
this up for people who have not seen it.
When was the last time you saw that in a show?
So he goes to a bar to pick up the Peacemaker, John Cena, to pick up the handler, and she wants no fucking part of him. She leaves, and he, in the course of him trying to pick her up, he says to her, look, I haven't been with anybody. No, mm-hmm. I haven't been with a woman in four years.
That's right. That's right. It's a funny line.
And anyway, she walks out, and he just looks around the bar, and there is another girl sitting over at another corner table by herself. And he just sort of cocks his head.
Weird 80s hair wig thing going on.
And the next thing you see, he is in her bathroom plowing her from behind. Mm-hmm. And as he's
full on,
and as he's banging it out with her, he just yells, freedom! Did that not kill you? I watched that, and I just thought about Mike Goldfarb.
Yes, that's right. And I really perked up because it's the way, you know, it's the way it used to be done in the old days, which is, you know, it jumps right to it. It's, there's no sort of lead in. There's no lead into this. No, it just jumps to it. I haven't seen that kind of thing in ages.
I actually, at the time when I was watching that, thought, is this specifically referencing The Wrestler? Because there's an identical shot in The Wrestler where he's at a bar, Mickey Rourke's character's at a bar trying to pick somebody up, and then it like smash cuts to him having sex with her in the bathroom of the restaurant.
I forgot. I'll have to look into that. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And it's a similar sort of thing, like, you know, kind of goofy, broken down guy looking. Anyway, I was wondering if it was.
I didn't, you know, well, what's funny is, you know, and there's another scene later on with the other woman there's a scene with this other woman who
takes her
the hostage, and she's with both the vigilante and with Peacemaker, and she's, you know, obviously you see her from the top up, and yeah, at first you're like taken aback by it, and the only reason why we're taken aback by it is because we don't see it anymore. Because there's just instances of that sort of gratuitous nudity. It used to be much more common, and we would be like, oh, okay, it's expected.
I don't think it's gratuitous. I think it is used for comic effect. These scenes are funnier with it.
That's right. That's what the directors tell the actresses. It's true.
So, Vic, AAA, A++.
It's like an A+. So it has an A+ quadrant score.
Product we watched scored an A+.
It's been a very long time. I'll have to look back on that, and I have it all on a file, so I can look down and I'll just remember. It'll just jump out at me when I remember something that it was across the board A+. But it was so it's great.
It does.
But you do have to be sort of in the mood for this kind of a thing. On paper, it crushes the quadrants. But me personally, certain scenes are great, and then other than that, I'm like, I don't really care. I'm just not really, I'm sorry.
What?
No, I'm just not. I'm just tired of the whole comic book thing. And,
the scene where he is in the hallway with the janitor, and the janitor's like, you're racist. You kill all these minorities. Yeah. And he says, no, it's just that minorities commit crimes at a higher rate. And the guy's like, what are you talking? Are you not looking for white people who are committing crimes? And he finally says, you know what? I will try to kill more white people who are committing crimes. Will that make you happy? The janitor says to him, yes. Yes, that's all I'm asking for. That you weren't on the floor with that, Victorino?
No, I wasn't. I was like, you know, I don't know.
The opening credits dance sequence?
The dance
with
sequence.
With wigwams? You want to taste it?
The opening credits improve over time also, by the way, because as you get to know the characters better, then you get to see them and identify them there, including Robert Patrick doing dance moves, which is also very funny because you're like, who, what? And I don't even think the first time I saw it, I even picked up it was Robert Patrick, which is very funny. I think the cast is great. I like it there. My expectations were low, but there were moments, even for me, because I'm just not in the mood for superhero stuff anymore, but there were moments in the series that even I laughed, like, even I'm like, let's just get through this thing because I just got to get through it, that I actually stopped and laughed when they're looking through, Adebayo is going through her, you know, showing from her phone images.
Wasn't
and
that
in the,
funny?
In the middle of it is an image of her wife's thing. I was like, oh, that's... And the you know what was actually very funny about
she
it?
She is
was,
so great. She's was, so funny.
I like her a lot. But what was really funny is everyone's reaction worked on that. And yes. At least for me, it did. And I thought that was very...
And
funny.
Her reaction is...
Yes, yes. No, everybody's.
Her level everybody's. Of embarrassment. Yes. She is great.
She's great.
She can do anything. She's funny.
I like her. I do want to know more. You know, Agent Harcourt, you know... I was thinking it would be too soon if something happened now. They're going to stretch that one out, so to
yeah.
speak.
Well, I'm surprised that you are put off by the superhero stuff, because there's really very, very little superhero stuff in this.
This is just a workplace comedy.
Yeah.
It's really, there's really not a ton of like, there's not a ton of like big CGI
violence,
which like
that's
is,
true.
I just don't really
care for the story. You know,
the judo master throwing the spicy hot Cheetos hard that it hurts him and like cuts his face.
That's right. With
hysterical.
The spice, which is hurts him, but it just didn't. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting is that, I mean, DC has definitely decided that this is, you know, their way to distinguish themselves from Marvel cannot do this because it's Disney and they have a certain brand with kids. I don't think they could do a show or a movie that was a hard R like this, both in terms of profanity
Deadpool.
And sex nudity.
Right. I mean, so Deadpool is Sony.
That's right.
But no, it's Fox. It was 20th Century Fox. It's owned, Deadpool is owned by owned by
Disney now, and it made too much money for them not to go back to that. But I think they'll have to keep that as a Fox, right? I mean, will they put the Disney logo in front of it? I don't know.
Fox does not exist anymore. It would have to be a 20th Century Studios, and I don't think they're producing any more films under the 20th Century Studios label.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
They'd have to like resurrect Buena Vista.
Yeah.
Remember Buena Vista?
As part of Disney.
So, Victor,
was there like
not,
adult label?
You're not into that. Yeah. I'm just shocked that I'm the one who's super into this and you guys are.
I
like it. I watched all four. Again, I watched all four episodes back. I watched 3 hours of Peacemaker. I was like, yeah, I like this. This is fun. I'm excited for Gorilla Grodd to show up, which is what they're clearly hinting at, the missing gorillas.
It's going to be a riot.
It's going to be like the butterflies versus Gorilla Grodd or something, I assume. I don't know.
And the way they wave aside all of the conventions of comic books and just announce to you that they're just not going to worry about it, right? So Judo Master, the bad guy, gets shot, like, literally right in the sternum. And you're like, oh, well, that dude's dead. And then John Cena's like, he's probably not going to die because these martial arts guys, some of them, what they do is they have so much control, they can shift around their internal organs. And they, you know, they could like move a kidney up to where their heart should be, and the kidney turns into a heart. People are looking like, "What is wrong with you?" And then Judo Master is still alive; he's not dead. Yeah. Just because you don't have to, right? It's a stupid comic book movie. You can do that in this. You can play with it. Victorino, when John Cena is in that chick's apartment while she's in the bathroom, like getting ready to kill him,
CDs
he's
and
looking
albums.
Through the albums, like Cinderella and Rat and all those 80s. And then he starts singing, but he's singing in her vibrator. Like he grabs something that he just wants to use as a microphone,
right,
and he's just unironically singing. Right. It's like her vibe. I mean, it's...
It's just not doing it. I don't know. It's
the
just,
man
I
who
just,
thought the Green Book was the height of cinema.
Yes, and I still do. I still maintain it was interesting. It hits all the notes, but I'm just not, you know, I'm just tired of seeing these.
You're just too grown up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just tired of this comic book shit. I'm just tired of it. I'm sorry.
I bet your son would think this is the funniest thing ever
he
made.
Cannot I'm not letting him watch that yet.
Oh, and why? Because there's boobs? That's where you draw the line?
And it's like Goodfellas level profanity. I think it's really
jarring in a way. Again, to watch one of these properties where they're
too hard in that sense. But
the disquisition about sugar tits and what sugar tits means, which is a
sweet cheeks.
Time in my whole life I've ever heard the word sugar tits is from Mel Gibson during his like
when he was drunk.
I thought that was a
when he was drunk.
Mel Gibson special.
Sorry.
It's a good show. It's good.
Yeah, look, again,
it's fine.
What? You'll love it. Listeners are going to love it. It
got an A-plus on the quadrants.
A-plus on the quadrants. I just personally...
What more do you want from us?
Yeah, that's it.
JVL.
All right, well, I'll
we haven't
I'll
even talked about his
then.
Eagle.
I love the eagle. Eagly.
The eagle, the hug from the eagle. It's great.
It's amazing. So I'm not prepared to say that DC is better than Marvel.
Oh.
Because Marvel has a level of consistent quality, which
except for Eternals sucked, you know, and
yeah,
that
I understand.
Really just...
But I think it is fair to say that DC is absolutely the more creatively interesting
certainly
of the
edgier.
Two studios, right? Between
but
Joker
But that's been
and
true
this.
For the, like the last 10 it's been true for literally the entirety of the last
I mean not counting
that,
Batman.
You're
taking
that
taking Dark Knight
because Marvel
Dark
plays
Knight,
it safer.
Dark
Marvel
Knight
plays
to the
it
side.
Safer is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean Marvel doesn't do stuff that's terribly risky, mm-hmm. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Artistically risky. Like Joker was a real risk. Harley Quinn, which I stand behind, I love it. I think that's a great movie, is very risky. I guess Aquaman isn't. I mean, Aquaman was from that period where it wasn't really risky. They didn't do anything interesting. Releasing the Snyder Cut, huge risk, and it paid off. I just think it's admirable.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, The Batman... When does that come out?
It comes out in March, I think.
Really soon. I have not seen a trailer yet, though.
I did. I saw the trailer before Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been trailers.
And there's two different ones.
Is it good?
Yeah, a Robert Pattinson.
You want a Batman movie? This is going to be you want a year one? You want a gritty year one Batman movie with Colin Farrell playing the Penguin? And
you know,
like Joker was,
maybe a movie about how Batman begins.
That's pretty much it.
That's it.
This is,
do we have to do this? Is there going to be an origin story? Is there going to be Crime Alley? Are we going to see Martha Wayne kill?
Speaking of which, what is this other thing I see on? Speaking of DC, it's Alfred, the origin story of Alfred.
Pennyworth,
right? Is that also on HBO?
I think that's on
a CW show, isn't it?
It's on the
I
Max.
I hope so.
I think it's on the Max. I don't know.
I take it back. Maybe DC isn't all that much better.
Okay. But, it's hit or miss. James Gunn, by the way, what was his Marvel? He did Marvel as well, right? Didn't
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one?
And then he got canceled.
First two.
That's
he did the first two,
was.
Then he got canceled because somebody...
Because what?
No, well, remember, it's very funny, actually, looking back at how this happened. Roseanne got canceled.
Oh,
for her racist joke about Valerie Jarrett. And then in retaliation, some of the alt-right adjacent people were like, what about James Gunn? He used to make jokes about pedophilia. And then there was a big kerfuffle for like 24 hours about that. And Disney was like, you're out. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And DC hired him immediately. Warner Brothers hired him like the next day. They were like, come do whatever you want. And so he came to do the Suicide Squad. And then very quietly, Marvel and Disney rehired Gunn like 3 months later. They're like, all right, come do Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It's fine now. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That was how that whole thing broke down.
Do you have any other thoughts on?
I'm just outraged you didn't want this, Serena.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not even outraged. I'm hurt. I really thought this was going to be a thing that we could share and laugh about.
I just like...
Are you going to watch the rest of the show, Vic?
No.
Are you going to keep watching the episodes?
No, unless I have to.
You're done?
I'm done. Just like...
Three episodes, you're out.
That's it. I'm done.
You're back to the book of
I'm going to go back to finishing Succession. Sorry. That's what I'm watching, you know.
JBL, are you going to watch the rest of the show?
100%. In fact,
I
might watch the next episode, episode 5, after we finish taping tonight.
You need to watch episode 5 of the Book of Boba Fett. Pod's right. You're going to really love it.
I'm done with that show. Unless we're doing more bonus episodes on it.
I like that show. Even I watched that episode.
Are you kidding me?
The fifth episode is the best episode by far.
Yes, it is.
This is Widows all over again, Sonny.
I tried.
I've watched the fifth episode of The Book of Boba Fett. It's way better than the rest of The Book of Boba Fett.
It's going to blow your mind away. You're going to be like, my gosh. And don't worry. There's no member berries. It's not a lot of fan service. Trust me.
Just watch it. Just turn it on and watch like the first 5 minutes. You'll know immediately.
You know what?
If it's for you or not.
You know what? Widows killed the quadrants too. Now that I'm remembering it.
I think that's
it. The naked. Because it had everything. It had good action. It was not too long. It had.
It was like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, it was long.
It was a little
long
had,
to me.
It was a little
bit.
Was
a plot that he could
understand. But it was way too confusing for Vic. It was
right.
like local politics.
Also, he came back. Like, five
he's not dead. Liam Neeson is not dead. Why did he do like, this to her?
Who's the 6 foot so five mean. Blonde girl that Vic loves?
It's Elizabeth Debicki.
Elizabeth Debicki, and is it? She's totally naked in it. And you came out. You said yes. I guess it's an A minus on the quadrants, but I hate it.
I still didn't.
No,
like
no, no. It wasn't. It was
no,
not
it was
an
not.
A minus on the.
You're, no,
it,
was,
there was,
this
was.
I
this was an outrage
you.
Because it was like a C on
yes.
plot. And
oh
it was
yeah,
like, it was
and
like
duration.
A C, it was like
plot
a D plus on
duration. Plot and duration. Why are you
and,
doing this to me?
But and I mean he was it was a ridiculous quadrant score.
I will look.
The quadrants are a lie.
No, as you know, they're not.
If I remember correctly, right. You gave Sex and Nudity like a B minus or something.
Four.
Because you had like zoned out. When the actual sex
I think I probably
was
did, and
also hadn't he been drinking during Widows too?
No, that was you know what that
was.
Was
that just under the Silver Lake?
That was and that was genuine, by the way. Like I was genuinely upset that about the movie, and I forgot that I had come back from drinking when I watched it and fell asleep. Very rare, as you know, that doesn't happen to me often. I will look back.
How drunk were you during Peacemaker?
I will look back in my files, and I'll find the movie, the last movie that
did Kate like Peacemaker?
She hasn't watched it, so. You know, I did try to get her to watch that episode of Book of Boba Fett, but she said no, and she just walked away. So it was just me.
Did she watch? Has she watched any of the other ones?
Yeah, and she thought they were like oh, the Book of Boba Fett. She did not like.
Yeah, yeah.
She thought it. Was.
Did she watch The Mandalorian?
Yes. Yeah, she liked it.
Okay,
she liked The Mandalorian. Okay. Any other thoughts? That's it. We stretched it out. Okay. Spirit of the week, corrections, shout outs, anything. Hello. Goodbye. JVL.
No.
Okay. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sunny Bunch at Victorino Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. I'm turning on my phone.
All right,
now.
Before you turn on your phone, I want to set this up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you guys. I still get the paper version of the New Yorker because I'm a sucker, and I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love print. I love print.
And so I get out my copy of the New Yorker the other day, and I just you know sometimes I like to start from the back of the magazine. This is the thing that magazine readers do, and so I open up the back cover, the cover three, C3,
C3
in magazine parlance. And this is the full page ad I see. I have texted you boys.
Oh, okay. Now we can look.
Now look at your phones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not.
Why did you do that? That was terrible. Why did you do that? I thought this was supposed to be the other thing. I
what
can't unsee that now. I can't unsee that.
Are five women who are all of them both quite old and quite overweight, and I mean quite overweight, and all wearing nothing except for bras and diapers.
Yes, dry shield.
And I just would like to know who thought that this was a good idea. I understand the sort of girl power, like we've got to be authentic. This is. I do not think that there is anybody, man, woman, child, or beast, who wants to see this. I understand depends. I understand all this stuff.
Yes,
this is all of us will be in
billion-dollar business,
right? We will all be there someday.
Yes.
So
yes,
that is not
will.
Why I am yes, looking down at this. But I am telling you that when I am there.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at something like this in the back of my New Yorker is not going to make me think, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go out and get me some Depends.
That's right. Now I was worried about my dignity, but now I guess I can get it.
And to put a finer point on it, imagine this exact same advertisement, but with men. Right? Imagine how horrible it would be to have five fat old men in their Depends and nothing else, standing there looking defiantly at the camera. Everybody would look at that and say, yeah, that's, what I'm sorry, get out of here. But because it's women, it's like, well, it's empowering or something.
C3, by the way, it's C3. Oh. And also, JVL, it's the C3 and it's 4C. It's a four-color ad. You know how expensive that is? A four-color ad on the back of the magazine.
Did you guys realize that that was a thing that happened in... I would expect that in the middle of People, right? So in the middle of a People magazine or something. Yeah, but the C3 ad on the New Yorker...
Maybe they know their audience for the print edition.
I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.